Sunday, you will not have to listen to me. Thank you. I like that. Silence is good. Next Sunday, Blake Grundy will be with us at the Civic Center. So next Sunday at 10 o'clock, Civic Center. Don't come here for 8 o'clock. One service at the Civic Center. Blake Grundy will be bringing the message. And Broken Vessels, who's the band we've had each year, come in and will lead our worship for us. So it'll be a great break for our staff, but also, listen, a time that we can worship and celebrate together. They are both very powerful and dynamic in their worship and in their presenting of God's Word. So it'll be meaningful and for all of us. 10 o'clock next Sunday at the Civic Center. Also, these green cards, I know our ladies announced it during the announcements. But listen, this is a communication card. We love getting these from you. Even if it's, hey, your sermon is terrible, or hey, your sermon is good, I'm learning something out of that. Or if you're first-time or second-time visitors and we just need some names, addresses, we're not going to show up at your house unless you have gumbo for us and we're invited. But we just want to communicate with you. This is the way we get to know you. And I'm going through Revelation. I've had a lot of people over the years ask about Revelation, so we're going through Revelation right now. There's so much information. I'm covering a lot of verses and a lot of passages, and you probably don't have time to remember it all. But maybe you can jot them down on these sermon notes. And then in your own private time during the week, you can go back and kind of review that. And on Wednesday nights, we look over this and go a little more detail about what we covered on Sunday morning. So as we continue our study in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, today's title of today's message is Jesus' victory on earth brought victory in heaven. So let's get a little background here. Last week we covered in chapter 12 who the woman was that is mentioned there. And it's really the believers in Old Covenant who had faith in God's Redeemer to be sent, and the believers in New Covenant who we are. It is the church, and it includes Mary in there. And some theologians want to look differently at who this woman is, but it is really all. It is the believers of God who had faith in His Messiah, Jesus Christ, us and under the Old Covenant. We looked also at the red dragon, who the red dragon was. We realized that is Satan, and we noticed there's a difference in Genesis chapter 3 verses, in chapter 3, where Satan is known as the serpent. And over in Revelation chapter 12, he's called the enormous red dragon. And something happened between Genesis and Revelation that changed Satan's attitude from being just crafty and cunning to being ferocious and fierce toward the church. So for the first few moments, we want to see what happened because it sets the playing field for verse 7 where we pick up. Something happened there in the spiritual realm, and chapter 12 really just gives us a view of the spiritual realm, what's going on and what has happened to help us understand how God's divine plan for our salvation is still at work in Christ Jesus and all the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us through His life, His crucifixion, His resurrection, and His ascension. So let's lay down some groundwork. To understand Revelation chapter 12, we can go back to the book of Job chapter 1, really verses 1 through 12, but we're going to focus a little bit about verse 6 through 8. Listen, Satan had been deposed already of his lofty place in heaven. He was no longer known as Lucifer, the beautiful angel. He had already been kicked out of heaven. He's down on the earth. That's how he could tempt Eve. That's how he could tempt Adam. That's how he drug us into sin, all of humanity. So he no longer held his angelic position in heaven. Yet, God still allowed him to become before His presence. He still had access to heaven. And that's real important for us to understand, that he still had access to heaven. But what he did then was to be accuser of the brethren. Let's look over in Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. says, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. In verse 8, he says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. We see from this passage that Satan, even though deposed, had from his position in heaven, still had this access to accuse people and to tempt people when he got permission from God to do so. So here we see Satan is acting like a serpent, crafty, cunning, looking for opportunity. Now he still can use that approach, but he's mad about something now. As we see in Revelation chapter 12. What happened? We read Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 17. So then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman, who? The church. Who had been given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and a half a time. That's during the church age. Out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening his mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast to their testimony about Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, today, make your word plain to us. Lord, let us see in the spiritual realm what you've done on earth, the victory that you've had here, Jesus, how it gave victory in heaven. Help us put all the connections together, Lord, for our own growth, for our own encouragement. The battle's already been won, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for that certainty and that surety. Lord, I pray today that you enliven and enlighten our minds to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing we need to see is that Satan is banned from access to heaven. Satan is banned from his access to heaven. We saw in verse 7 through verse 9, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So what caused, I think this is a fair question, what caused this war in heaven? What was the background for it? Why did war break out in heaven? Why could Satan have access all along to God to accuse people of faith in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant? Why could God do that? I mean, why would God allow Satan there? In the victory that Jesus won on the earth by his life, death, and on the cross, and his resurrection from the dead, secured the victory on earth and in heaven. Listen to how Jesus won the victory over sin, death, and the grave. And we begin to see and understand what Jesus did for us here had an impact even in heaven, and it cost Satan something great. See, the first thing we need to understand, Jesus' death on the cross, John 19, verse 28 through 30. Later, knowing that everything had been done, had been finished, so that Scripture could be fulfilled, Jesus says, "I am thirsty." In verse 20 says, a jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Verse 30 says, when he had received the drink, he said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Listen, upon Jesus' death on the cross, he paid sin's debt. Everything in our behalf had already been paid. Listen, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, what are you waiting on? Your debt for your sin that you've ever committed in all your life has already been paid. Jesus did that for you. All you have to do is, like a gift, receive it for yourself. Listen, Satan rejoiced because in his own limited knowledge of God and God's divine plan, Satan actually thought he defeated Jesus because he saw Jesus die on the cross. He saw him beaten. Do you think the demons just sat back and said, "Oh, I knew that was coming"? Oh, no. They were celebrating because in their own finite, angelic, demonic knowledge, they didn't know God's big plan. Only God knows God's big plan. You see, they thought they had defeated Jesus. And when Jesus says that it's finished, Satan heard that. He said, "Well, it's over. Whatever plan God had, it's gone." And Jesus was saying, "No, it's finished because the work that God sent me here, the debt is paid in full." The second thing we see is that Jesus had victory over this death. Listen, we as Christians can't numb out to this, that Jesus died on the cross, but then he had victory over the death. In Luke 24, verse 1 through 8 says, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning," this is about the resurrection, "the women took spices that had been prepared and went to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead?'" What a question. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? "He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you this while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Listen, Jesus' victory over sin on the cross and his victory over death and the grave at his resurrection brought victory in heaven. The third thing we need to see in this is that Jesus ascends to his throne in heaven. So what caused this war? Jesus' death on the cross, he paid for sin. His defeat over death, his resurrection, and now he ascends to the throne. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. "Now after he said that," so he's addressing his disciples, "after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid them from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white," that's something about these white clothes, these two guys hanging around. Verse 11 says, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. He's talking about the second coming. And he's talking about this Jesus who they spent time with, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, resurrected from the dead. He's going up to his throne, but he's coming back for you. Now, Jesus' victory on earth secured victory in heaven. Satan was now attacked, in verse 7, by the archangel Michael. What does verse 7 say? Then war broke out. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, then the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. He had already been deposed, but he had access before God. But because of what Jesus did on the earth, because of his death, his victory over our sin, because of his victory over death and resurrection, he ascended to the throne. And listen, when Jesus arrived, war broke out. War broke out, verse 7 says. Satan was banned from heaven and appearing before God to accuse the people of God. Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection was the deciding victory. I imagine the Michael is the warrior angel. I'm sure he's got a pretty strong attitude, you know, type A personality. I think he's a Marine somewhere along the line. Heavenly Marine, that is. Special Forces, you know what I mean? He's got a type A personality. I can do. And I'm sure he sat there by the throne and listened to Satan's accusations about God's people. Now, he didn't know all God's plan either. But he knew that the insults that Lucifer was going and giving to God about God's people wasn't right. And I imagine he was just cracking his knuckles. If he's got knuckles, he was cracking them. He was just waiting for Jesus to arrive. And when Jesus arose and he ascended into heaven, I'm sure Michael said, I've had enough of this. He got the nod, so to speak, and Michael and the angels in heaven attacked Lucifer and his angels. He was shutting that guy's mouth up, and he hurled him down. Listen, war broke out. Satan didn't start that war. Again, Michael came after him. I've had enough. You're going to shut your mouth. I'm paraphrasing. You won't find that. But war broke out. And because of what Jesus did, defeat over Satan finally. He was hurled down to the earth. He no longer had access before God to accuse the brethren. Why? Because they are free in Christ. They're free in Christ. Satan's power source of sin and death and all the things that he had that he would accuse the brethren with, he no longer had it. Listen, it kind of brings to life Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 that we talked about a little bit last week. It was fulfilled. God told Satan, he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. Listen, the cross bruised Jesus' heel, but the resurrection crushed Satan's head. Can you see the fulfillment in Revelation of Genesis? What Jesus did in his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. He stomped the head of Satan. War broke out. The second thing we see is that celebration over Jesus' triumph. There was celebration in heaven, verse 10 through verse 11. It says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto the death. When was salvation earned? It was earned in Christ's first coming through His sinless life, His death, His resurrection, and ascension into heaven. The voice John heard in heaven connected the salvation earned by Jesus, the arrival of God's power, and the authority given to Christ with the accuser being thrown out of heaven down to the earth. We read in Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, where Satan had this access to God. But not just in Job. We also find it in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Listen to how ugly Satan was. And remember how Jesus had revealed to Peter that Satan was actually accusing him in the heavenly realm. Why was Jesus telling Peter this? Because Jesus had not died on the cross yet. The victory had not been won yet. Satan was even accusing Peter. Listen to what he says in Luke 22, verse 31 through 32. It says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Satan was vicious. No wonder there was great celebration when Jesus won. So prior to Jesus' death, His resurrection, and ascension, this process constantly of accusing God's people occurred on a regular basis. Why would Satan be allowed to have such authority? Why was he allowed to do such a thing? It's because salvation had not been accomplished from Satan's vantage point. From his vantage point, the imperfect people of God were being accepted as righteous before God, but for no good reason. Satan didn't know God's plan to redeem people back to himself. So he's there. Listen, Satan got kicked out of heaven because of pride, because of sin. He wanted God's glory. So that got him kicked out. Satan couldn't understand, why is God receiving all these people under the old covenant? Why is he counting them as righteous? Why is he doing that? So he's up there saying, listen, God, these people are nothing but a bunch of filthy rags. They're nothing. Why are you accepting them? Because there's probably a little jealousy going on there now. Because he lost his position and God's elevating their position. Because these were the people of faith who trusted God's Redeemer to come. They were people of faith, that remnant in Israel, trusting God for the Messiah to come. See, Satan saw humans as filthy, no good, undeserving creations who had sinned against God just like him. So far, nothing had been done to make them righteous. And Satan couldn't understand it. And that infuriated him. So he accused and he accused and he accused because he didn't get the whole picture. Yet from God's perspective, these were sinners saved by grace. Catch this. Saved by grace through faith, by the virtue of the finished work of Christ on the cross and His resurrection, imputed in their behalf retroactively. God knew that Jesus Christ was going to die for the sins of the world. God knew His plan, and Jesus was going to follow it. Jesus is God in the flesh. God knew Jesus was going to resurrect from the dead. He knew that Jesus was going to fulfill the plan. So He could already count those people of faith, their faith in God, just trusting that this was going to happen, as righteousness. And when Jesus' blood, He died on the cross, the payment, the gift that He gives to us, retroactively counted for all those people of faith. Oh, you get the big picture. You see what in the spirit world what has been happening. Doesn't it bring you comfort and security in Christ Jesus? Jesus has not even been born yet. In perspective of the Old Testament saints, He had not been crucified and resurrection, even in Peter's situation. But these men and many other men and women were made righteous through faith by the blood of Jesus Christ, working ahead of time as they trusted God and His provision for the coming Redeemer. From God's perspective, the Old Testament saints, this remnant of His faithful believers of the Old Covenant, were righteous, not by their own merits, but because of the righteousness in Christ imputed to them by faith. So we must ask, did Satan know anything about this? No. Did he know Jesus was going to rise from the dead? No. He just knew Jesus was dying. He just knew that. See, he had an idea of the plan that God had. That's why he tried to tempt Jesus. That's why he tried to lead him astray. That's why he came against him so hard. But he had no idea that the tomb would be empty, that he would rise again. Oh, we see. Doesn't it bring Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 34, a little more to life to us? Listen to this. So Satan was the accuser at all that time. But when Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the dead, he was kicked out. Was war broke in heaven, verse 7 and 8 tells us. But listen to what Romans chapter 8 says. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Who will dare accuse the elect of God? For it is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So in light of what we covered, which was a lot, when you read Romans chapter 8, the devil can't accuse you anymore. Now listen, he can make you feel guilty, he can whisper in your ear, listen, but he can't go before God and accuse you. He has no authority. He has no right there. He has no access. He's been banned. Doesn't it kind of consume a lot of the energy out of what Satan tries to do to us? Listen, Jesus' victory on earth brought victory in heaven and celebration as Satan was thrown down. And he's no longer accuser of the people of God before God. The third thing we see, and we're closing, is Satan continuously assaults those living on the earth. Satan is barred from heaven, and he's furious about it. We have to understand, he's mad. He doesn't like boundaries. We see in verse 12, the latter part of verse 12, says, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Why do you see so much turmoil in the world? Why do we see abortion going out of control? Why do we see all of these things? Why do we see murder and hate so much? Drug wars going. Why do we see that? Because Satan knows his time is short. In the days of Job and up to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, Satan roamed the earth. But he also had access to God so that he might accuse the people of God. Now that Christ has accomplished salvation, Satan is confined to roam the earth and is banned from heaven. And now he's furious because he realizes that through all the ages, his freedom, he could roam going back and forth all over, and now he's just here messing with us every day and night. Relentlessly. The victory was won with Christ. Satan has been mortally wounded. He has taken a decisive blow on the head. So now Satan pursues the church relentlessly, causing trouble, trying to seduce us into temptation, into sin, trying to present false narratives of the gospel, trying to lead us off and to false teaching that would poison our mind and lead us away from Christ. Persecuting the church to get us to renounce our faith. Look at verse 13. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness where she had been taken care of for a time and a half. Remember, this 3.5 years is what it means. Literally just stands, it's a numerical figure that just stands for the time of the church age between Christ's first coming and his second. So we understand who the woman is. Verse 14 says, given the two wings of a great eagle so it might fly to a place prepared for her. What does that mean? We want to go back to the Lord of the Rings with the giant eagles coming in, you know. But in Exodus 19, verse 4, Old Testament, Moses says this to the people of Israel. He says, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, talking about God now, and I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. See, the wings of an eagle convey strength and speed. The woman, the church, is faster than the dragon so that she was able to escape the pursuit. Verse 14, the latter part of it says, in the wilderness. The wilderness has become a place associated with trial and provision. Listen, this is literally a wilderness we're living in. Because as the church, we are tried, but God always provides. He doesn't always provide what we want. He throws some sugar on us every now and then. But he provides what we need. And it's not always the way we want it. It's the way God has designed it for our lives so that we would become dependent more upon him and bring him glory with our life. If our faith is never challenged, our faith never grows. So God allows things in our life to build us up. Those are the trials that we have, but God brings the provision. Brings the provision. Moses told him in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31. See, Old Testament. Moses encourages the Israelites before his death. He says, in the wilderness, you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. Is revelation starting to come to life about what's going on right now? How that God's provision carries us like a man carrying his little son. How God takes care of, we are his children. Verse 15 and 16 says, From his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away and with the torrent. But the earth kept the woman by opening his mouth and swallowing the river. Listen, this goes back to when Moses and the Israelites came out of Egypt. What was the first obstacle they had? The Red Sea. But what did God do? He split it open and they walked across on dry land. But Pharaoh and all of his army pursuing them. So the ground swallowed up the water. But when Pharaoh and his army got there, the torrents come across and they all drown. Oh, can we see? Isaiah chapter 43 verse 2 tells us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. Listen, when all the troubles in our life comes, and we feel so overwhelmed, we don't think we can make it through, we have God's promise that says, listen, you will not be overtaken by that. Trust in God. Listen, don't run around to this person or that person. Trust in God. Trust him. Satan continues to come up with so many ways to tempt and sweep across the church. Yet despite the flood of evil, seduction, and persecution and false teaching, God protects the faith of his church to endure and persevere. Verse 17, we're closing. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast to their testimony about Jesus. You know what we gain from chapter 12? Is that in the spiritual realm, there's a war going on against you and against me, Christian. There's a war, and there's so many things that come against us. Don't be surprised by that. Don't be surprised. There's no comfy Christian life. Why do we come to church? Yeah, we come to church to exalt and to worship God, but we also come to be encouraged and to grow in God's Word and to be and to understand the greater pathway that He has us on. See, this picture of the perseverance of the saints during these last days, God keeps us, He provides for us, He sustains us as His people, even through the assaults and the attacks of Satan. Listen, Jesus won. He wins our victories every day. And so do we. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Your Word is so precious to us. Lord, when we read this and we see all these symbols and all of these images, God, oftentimes we can just shake our heads. What does this mean? And God, this message is so directly to us as Your church to be encouraged during these last days. Lord, not to run after the world, not to be seduced by the things of the world, not to follow false teachings, but to adhere to Your Word in the context that it was written and embrace what You have done in Jesus Christ for us. Thank You for the victory. Thank You for the celebration in heaven. Thank You for the promise that You're coming again. Thank You, and we look forward to celebrating all of eternity with You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And